Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, Thursday edition on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. We're on Facebook. Give us a like. We're also on Twitter. Give us a follow. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And you can email the show anytime, stevejones@wkok.com. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we'll be with you live till 5, then we'll have Matt Cotrillo for our late afternoon, late day news roundup. 6:05, Penn State coach, a show tonight from Permane's, Permane Brothers, downtown State College with Steve, and head coach James Franklin, of course, will join the show, presented by Pepsi, CBS Sports Radio after 7, and then tonight at 8, we'll have the NFL Thursday night matchup, should be a pretty good one between the Miami Dolphins and Houston Texans from Houston tonight here. On WKOK, you're home for Super Bowl 53. Heading into Week 10 of high school football tomorrow night. A lot of rivalry games.
Yeah.
And we will have our roundtable in the next half hour.
Yeah, big games.
We'll see how playoff situation shakes out for all the teams.
Oh, yeah, I know. Everybody's anxious to know about that. Yeah. Yeah, everybody who really loves sports is like sitting there going, yeah, come on. Now I figured out why the suit loves August. All right, so. nobody's lost yet. All right. do we have him today?
We sure do. Just spoke with him a couple minutes ago. Yep, he'll be with us.
Is he excited?
Sure.
Yeah, no. Okay. So.
Oh, we were mapping out a whole album. Maybe not we shouldn't say we. More like he. As I was trying to finish a fast late lunch before the show started, as he's reeling off a whole bunch of different playoff scenarios. Okay, if this team beats that team, maybe that team will leap over that team to get into the playoffs. So he was kind of reeling off a whole bunch of different types of scenarios. But not a situation from several years ago when he had that.
How about having five wins?
That'd be nice. Nice change of pace.
That, I think, is a playoff team. All right. Wow.
Yeah, we'll see. Jersey Shore wins tomorrow night over Central Mountain, and if Seawinds Grove gets their win over Montoursville tomorrow night for senior night, both teams will be 5-5.
Well, I'm fine with that. But it's the have one magical night scenario that gets you in. It's like nine bad ones. All right. Well, hey, I don't run it. I don't get it. I don't the point thing. Don't understand. Win your conference. Be at least 500. That should get you in. If you're under 500, but you win your league, I think you should be in. But this point thing, come on. Oh, no, you don't understand. No, I do understand. You win, you deserve to go. You don't win, you don't deserve to go. I mean, what's next? Is everybody going to get a trophy? What the heck? All right. Does the suit get a trophy for doing the games?
He does not.
Are you sure?
Just a paycheck.
Have you been to the Shrine?
I have not. I've not. I've not been that. Not been in that part of Danville in quite some time.
The upscale area. Yeah.
Right.
The gated community.
It's on the other side of Buhner's fence.
The gated community. nothing like it. Okay. Couple things. We have one thing I think that is the high school football playoff. In fact, I want to hit on that first. I think I said this yesterday. Godwin Stoker, who had been the head coach at Bald Eagle for many years, Stokes has since passed away. Back in the 80s, I would talk with him every week because I would do something every week with the local high school coaches here in Center County in Bellefonte State College. You know, Tim's dad, Ron Pavlichko, whom I consider a good friend. He's at State College, Bellefonte, Bald Eagle area, Penns Valley. Okay. I remember when Marty Tobias played. And so I'd interview them every week, and Stokes really wanted to push for a playoff and an all-star game. Now, this is before... This is when the Big 33 was a big, big deal. So he wanted to have like a District 6 All-Star game in June, which is now the Leisure Lumber Classic. But now with everything, with the calendars the way they are and the fact that players have to report to their respective schools in time for their summer sessions and things like that, the Big 33s of the world are fading away, and so are these All-Star games. But back in the 80s, it was a big, big deal. And he also was pushing an app. It was a staunch advocate for playoffs. Well, it doesn't take much to convince me that playoffs are good. I think playoffs add to the excitement. I think the playoffs add, you know, just put more juice out there for everybody. And instead of mythical champions, you want to get a champion. So I, back in the 80s, was absolutely all for it, no question. Now that I'm watching it play out, I am still all for playoffs, but it's got to be done differently. It has to be done differently. It's out of control now. It's out of control. And I say this with all due respect to teams that are fighting to get in, regardless of their record, based on their points or whatever. But you're telling me if you have one win, you deserve to be in a playoff? I mean, that's out of control. That's losing control of what's going on. I don't care how many schools are in the Quad A group, okay? If one qualifies, they get a bye. If two qualify, they have a playoff. But you got to be able to qualify for the thing. You got to. Okay? And one win isn't it. It's not it. Okay? That really cheapens competition. Big time. And you know, even three wins, we're three and seven. You tell me a 3-7 team should be in the playoff? Really? I think they've got to reel that part in. I think the PIAA has got to get a better handle on how to do this. And I said this, I think 2 years ago I said this on the show. The one thing I didn't like about the high school football season with the playoffs, I was talking with George Landis. 1 year they had five playoff games. Five. They ended up playing 15 games that year. One-third of them were playoff games. Really? So you want a scenario you have teams in high school, 16, 17, 18 years old, playing the equivalent of an NFL regular season? It's too many games. It's too many games. And part of that is, let's start being reasonable about who actually has done enough over 2 to 2.5 months. Who's done enough that they are legitimately a playoff team? you can really cut the season back and give more legitimacy to the playoffs by having legitimate, and the PIAAS too, which then brings me to the next part. The charter and private schools need to be separated out. I am for keeping six divisions, because right now you're set up to play six games in Hershey. So here's how I do it. Go back to the old single, double, triple, quad A for public schools, and then take the private schools and the charter schools and put into small class A, large class double A. You end up having six championships. And instead of having, you know, and I think that is the way to play it out. That's the way to play it out. You already have the six set. You already have a schedule in Hershey set to have six championship games. Four of them, A, double, triple, and quad A, involve public schools. Okay? And then you will have private and charter low A, private and charter high double A in terms of number of students. You got to get some control over this. And right now, when you see the playoff scenario they're talking about, right, you're telling me the fans are sitting there going, "Hey, we're going to the playoffs," right? And you're all pining over the one win you had. I can tell you right now, when I played high school football, right, when I played, and we had one win, I can tell you right now, we would vote as a team not to have gone. Didn't earn it. And maybe there's some people out there that don't like my attitude about that, but I'm sorry. I mean, you have to earn success. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, so I mean, maybe certainly there may be a bunch of you out there that disagree with how I feel about that. I'm all for playoffs, but playoffs should be for those who have earned their spot to be in a playoff. And when it comes to the private charter versus public schools, to me, that's a solution. Now, those who are in the classifications where they have six of them right now, look, just go back to what you had. Right, and then put the other two into the other two categories. Right, hey, it's nice. The idea of having a state champion is great, but you have to all play by the same rules. Okay, private schools don't have to play by the same rules. Hey, academically, they do, and so forth. But the rule of, oh, gee, we happen to be a. I think Chris called yesterday. And, of course, Cooper played the linebacker here. Played for Archbishop Wood. Right. He's from down there anyway. But he's talking about how they have players from Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania on the team. Well, to me, that's not a high school team. To me, a high school team is the team in your town. I don't expect State College to have Bellefonte's best players, and I don't expect Bellefonte to have State College's best players. They're not the same school district. But if there's a private school here, they can get anybody from anywhere to play. So, you know. And I'm all for crowning state champions, but I think the private charter public thing is out of control. And the number of schools that are allowed to qualify for PIAA playoffs in every sport is out of control. You got to regain some control over it, give some semblance of the fact that you're in the playoffs, that it's special. It's not a birthright. All right. Red Sox won the World Series Game 2 last night with David Price on the mound, who... You know, sports is all about confidence. Once you get some semblance of confidence, it then allows you to keep going. And for David Price, I think he got some level of confidence. out of game two against the Astros, who went, what, 4 2/3, but then he really kicked it to another gear by pitching the clincher and winning it. And it carried over into last night. J.D. Martinez has been a confident hitter all year. And again, when the Red Sox needed a big hit, he gets a big hit. They won 4-2. Red Sox are up 2-0 in the World Series. They will play at Los Angeles tomorrow against the Dodgers in Game 3. I believe it's Walker Buehler tomorrow night. And it's going to be probably Rick Porcello for the Red Sox because Nathan Eovaldi has pitched the last 2 games out of the pen, so one would expect he is the Game 4 starter. And the Red Sox retired the last 16 batters as a pitching staff, including 3 perfect innings from their bullpen. Joe Kelly's come out of the bullpen, and Kelly pitched like that in April and May. He has not pitched like that since Memorial Day. Now suddenly he's pitching again like it's April and May. And Craig Kimbrell, who pitched like that from March all the way to mid-August, now is back to pitching the way he did from March to mid-August. Evidently, he is no longer tipping his pitches.
I find Joe Kelly to be a very deceiving pitcher. I mean, when you look at him out there, you wouldn't expect him to throw 100, but very impressive last night.
Yeah, he throws 100, but you notice what he did with each one of them? Started up with a straight change. Started them all off straight change. Bang, bang, bang. Which then set up the fastball. His location was really good. And the Red Sox did not have to use Ryan Brazier last night, did not have to use Matt Barnes last night, because they used Kelly for a second straight night, they used Eovaldi for a second straight night, and they stayed away from their setup guys, gave them an extra day off. And that's what happens when your starting pitcher goes 6 innings. David Price went 6 innings last night. That was big. High school roundtable next. The suit goes in pursuit of the postseason.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our last regular season high school football roundtable. When we started this, it was hot out. It's no longer warm. Trees are turning color. And today, a rare appearance by the voice of Shikellamy football.
And he gets third call. He goes, Jesus, Joe.
Okay. And he's on a roll. All right, so let's bring in, first of all, Zach Showers, Montoursville, and Sealands Grove. Let's bring in Zach. Wait, Sean, let's not go into that room until it comes time to talk to Greg Wetzel, okay?
There you go.
I mean, because management's already getting the shakes. Okay, let's get to Montoursville at Sealands Grove. Zach, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be back.
Okay, so what they need this to get to 500, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so to get there, what do they have to do?
This team's got to show a little bit more offensively than what they've shown the past couple weeks. Sealands Grove has just been unbelievably inconsistent on the offensive side of the ball this year. As you can see, the record, this team has not won 2 games in a row. They also haven't lost 2 games in a row. Mm-hmm. So I think we're kind of hoping for a little bit of consistency. I think this the O-line needs to continue to develop. And they just have to make some plays offensively to get some momentum.
Has it been a surprise that the offense hasn't gotten a little bit better as time has gone?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, there were a lot of question marks going into the season, and especially when you're starting a freshman quarterback, that kind of can make a difference. I think There's a little bit more of an expectation that this team would be able to run the ball a little bit, and they just have not been able to show that. When you look at the team, and everybody knows what Salins Grove lost last year, and you know, I don't want to talk too much about that, but a big thing for this team is they haven't been able to get big plays offensively. Every drive either is a short drive because of a turnover that they're able to score quickly, or they have to, you know, put together a 10 or 12 play drive. There's not a lot of home run hitters, not a lot of guys that can take the top off of the defense. So a lot of that's just been a struggle because nothing's really easy. So I think going into week 10, you're just hoping that this team continues to develop and can get some momentum going into districts the following week.
Have there been a couple of young players on either side of the ball that have really developed and you think are part of the foundation of the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say right now at defensive end, you have Nate Schoen, who's a sophomore. You know, he's been playing fullback this year, had some nice runs. He's also done a nice job at DNs the past couple weeks. You also have Danny Schock, who's the freshman quarterback, and you know, anytime you have a 6'3 frame as a freshman to build on, there's a lot of opportunities there. Sophomore Ryan Almet, who's played at middle linebacker, he's made a lot of plays. So there are only, going into the last home game and senior night, there are only 5 seniors on this team and only 4 of them that play. So really, not that you want to start thinking too much about next season, because there's still a lot of season here the next couple weeks. But there are a lot of guys pretty much at every position that have an opportunity to grow and make an impact in the future.
Okay, so what? Give us a little bit about Montoursville and what the keys are to tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, when you look at records, Montoursville is 7-2. They have played a lot of there's really only 3 common opponents, Jersey Shore, Loyalstock, and Danville. And they've played more AA and AAA competition. So I think going into this game, this is a pretty even game, despite Montoursville being 7-2 and Salins Grove being 4-5. They have a quarterback, Hunter Shearer, who's thrown for just under 1,400 yards, which is pretty good. But what's more impressive is he has 23 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions on the year. So he hasn't been turning the ball over. A wide receiver, Jackson Delina, who has almost 600 yards and 9 touchdowns, and has a number of big plays. So that's going to be something that Salins Grove will need to limit. And they have a running back, Logan Ott, who has right around 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, and 4 backs that have over 240 yards. So overall, it's a pretty balanced offense, and one that hasn't made mistakes. So that's going to be a big factor. Is the Salins Grove defense able to make a couple turnovers and shift momentum? There's been games where Montoursville has given up some points, especially to Danville a couple weeks ago. They gave up 52 points, but then overall they've been pretty solid, running pretty much a base 4-4 defense. So a lot of it tomorrow night is can Salins Grove kind of harness that senior night momentum and that home crowd, and hopefully be able to host at least one, potentially 2 district playoff games after this.
Zach, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. We all hope the baby, by the way, is doing really, really well.
He is growing every day. So
that's
thanks for
wonderful.
Asking,
that is wonderful. What you and your wife does, very special. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, the Little Brown Jug Game. Greg Wetzel will step in here. Greg, it's always a pleasure. We apologize as a staff about the last few minutes.
No problem. I understand that.
we're sorry.
Actually, we were just talking about what you were talking about in the first half hour.
Yeah. No.
We were actually somewhat agreeing with you at
times. Yes, we were.
Somewhat?
Somewhat. We have some ideas that we think are a little better, but, you know.
All right. Well, then share them.
No, actually, you picked up on one of them right after we were talking about it, is splitting the six divisions. You already have six divisions. Why not split them up into private and public from that point of view?
But you think everybody should be in the playoffs?
No.
So you think a 1-9 team should make it?
Well, I think this is what the PIAA has created now. I don't think that teams that are below 500 should be in the playoffs, but this is what you've created. And if you want to have two games in District 4 Class Quad A, for whatever reason, this is what you have.
I believe me, I'm playing on the team. We all vote no. Okay, we're not going. I'm serious. You got to have some pride. You look around and go, we should be playing this thing.
But the past years, that hasn't even been an option in the district.
That's right.
You know, they have said, you're going. I don't know how they can force you to go, but...
Eastern Conference is the only one you can vote no on.
Eastern Conference is the one you can vote no on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I said, in the 80s when this was conceived, I was all for it. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, in practical application, common sense needs to take over.
Well, listen, I thought the dumbest setup was basketball when everybody made it.
Besides this.
Everybody, you remember a couple of years ago, Greg, everybody for basketball made it in.
Right.
It didn't matter what your record was. You basically made the year, the regular season, obsolete now. Yep. It didn't make anything. Yeah. And then, of course, they realized that after the first year and said, okay, you have to be 500, but we're going to still take the top eight teams no matter what.
Right. Yeah. But when was the last time this many teams were below 500? I consider this year an anomaly, don't you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
This may
not
happen for another 10 years.
But this was all because of the six classifications.
Correct. That's
right.
May
happen next year.
Yeah. I mean,
it will happen next year.
Yeah, it will, because you're on a two-year cycle.
Yep. Okay, let's get to the Little Brown Jug game.
There you go, Greg. Step up.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, at one point I left the room. Mifflinburg-Lewisburg. All right, where's Lewisburg? Now, here we are. It's week 10.
Yep.
Greg, where's Lewisburg better? Where are you surprised that they have plateaued?
I'm surprised that turnovers are still an issue for the Green Dragons. I mean, last week they had three crucial turnovers against Central Columbia that resulted in 21 points. You know, they lost 42-16, but realistically that game was closer than what that score is because of the turnovers. One was returned for a touchdown. Another one, Lewisburg fumbled inside the Central 5-yard line going in for a touchdown. Another one was another interception that wasn't returned for a touchdown but set up another touchdown. So I would think the inconsistency that they're showing with their turnovers is probably the thing that maybe disappoints me the most and probably the coaching staff the most right now.
All right. So in trying to find some level of consistency, how important is that going to be when they take on Mifflinburg tomorrow night?
I think it's going to be very important because this game, it's a rivalry game. Don't get me wrong. But this game means more to Mifflinburg right now than it does to Lewisburg because Lewisburg is in the playoffs. Mifflinburg needs a win tomorrow night to make the playoffs, and they probably need a couple other things to happen to make the playoffs. So Lewisburg needs to establish that running game that they've done in previous weeks and just wear Mifflinburg down with the run. You know, they've been, even in losses this year, they've been able to rush for over 200 yards a game. So that, I think, is going to be important for Lewisburg.
So ball control, time of possession will be important in this one, which then brings me to playing with the lead. If Lewisburg can get to the lead in combination with that running game, how devastating can that be for Mifflinburg?
Oh, that can be really devastating because Lewisburg has a kid by the name of Max Moyers who's gained 1,607 yards in the year from the line of scrimmage. That's more than Mifflinburg's running back combined have gained. So they have the ability to really wear Mifflinburg down with long ball control drives. Mifflinburg hasn't shown the big play capability yet this year. And if Lewisburg can make them drive the length of the field, I think that plays in Lewisburg's favor.
What about the weather possibility? It's supposed to rain tomorrow night. Does that favor either team? Is it because Lewisburg can run? Would it favor them?
I would think it might favor Lewisburg more, and it's not going to hurt the field that much because it's a turf field. It's not going to affect right. the field that much. So that's a good thing. But, yeah, I would think it would tend to favor Lewisburg probably a little more than Mifflinburg.
All right, Greg.
Good luck,
Steve.
You have
no idea how much I enjoyed talking with you.
I enjoyed talking with you, Steve.
Do you
want to
preview
now.
The next one? You can go ahead and continue. You've seen Shikellamy this year.
I've seen Shikellamy this year.
In fact, Greg, why don't you stick around and help me out with this one?
Okay, I'll stick around for a little.
Is there a basketball game on December 5th?
No. I'll see you then. Matter of fact, I'll see you on Saturday, even in the pouring rain. And you have to be there, so there's no way you can get out of it. Because I know where you have to be at 2 o'clock. And I'll be there waiting. Yeah,
they might have us do it in the booth.
No, I don't think so. I'll have to just stalk you going to the booth. I know how you have to get to the booth. And I know what time you have to be there.
You wonder why, Greg, I wasn't done talking with you.
Do you have any more questions for me, Steve?
I have a lot of questions, believe me. But because this radio station carries Shikellamy games, I am obligated contractually. It's like that old Roy Firestone joke. Roy Firestone's doing the Keith Jackson impersonation, and he says, college football. What does college football mean to me? Oh, about $5 million a year contractually. All right, so.
Poor Nelly. That's a lot of money.
God bless him.
Okay, so Shikellamy and Milton, friends and family night at the ballpark.
what the strangest part of this is it goes back to the conversation we had earlier, Steve. Both these teams have a playoff shot. Both of these teams
Correct.
Have a playoff
yeah.
shot.
They do.
Okay, let's get serious now.
Yeah, two wins right. between them, and they both have a playoff spot.
And this is basically a win and you're in playoff
right.
spot.
Yeah.
You know, so
that
you don't need seven things to happen.
Yeah.
Great. All right. What on Shikellamy is getting better? And what just has not been able to find a gear in 10 weeks?
Well, health has not been getting better in the last 10 weeks. Every time you turn around, there's another key player that's out or another couple of key players that's out. And there's just not the depth on this team that they've had in the past couple of years. The positive side is they've had three guys starting at quarterback this year, one of which wasn't even a quarterback earlier on in the season, wasn't even listed as a quarterback, and Drew Balestrini. Last time he played quarterback, I think he was 12 years old. He's actually come in and run the wing T offense quite well because that's what he was running with and he felt more comfortable with. He's starting to show a little bit more of a leadership ability for the young sophomore, feeling a little bit more comfortable at the quarterback slot, and has thrown the ball just a little bit better every week over the last couple of weeks.
Last year with veterans, Shikellamy's pass defense was really good. How hard will this younger group be tested tomorrow night?
Well, they're going up against a team that has thrown the ball quite a bit. I mean, 1,200 yards passing right now for Milton in the season, and that's where they've gotten a lot of their yards is going out to Rice and going out to Quaylen Rice, especially to get him on the edge and get him with his five touchdowns. He's been a big part of the offense. A couple of the things that Shikellamy has done this year with this younger defense is they put a 6'4 defensive end in at safety in Darrell Lyles. And I think we may see that again tomorrow night, trying to get him and get his height and get a little bit of a height advantage there in the secondary and try and, you know, match up a little bit better with Rice on the edge, especially. I think the other thing that you finally see is Shikellamy has an interception. I mean, at this point last year, they had six defensive touchdowns by this point last year. Not just interceptions, but defensive touchdowns.
Right.
They have only gotten that one interception a week ago, and it was the first one of the year, and it was in week 8.
Greg, are you still there?
Playoffs?
I'm still here.
What are you talking about? Playoffs? Right. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
You still there, Greg?
I'm still there.
Good. Okay. I feel like I have peace of mind. Okay. So now, okay. So what will the keys be tomorrow night, especially the part about playing with the lead with two teams that have had virtually no success?
Well, that is exactly what the key is. On either side of the ball, you need to be able to score and score first and build confidence. Shikellamy is a whole different team when they have scored first, and it only has happened a couple of times this year, and they've played very much different, with that lead. I think the other thing, especially for Shikellamy, is they're going to have to be a little bit more under control offensively. They've had a lot of 5-yard offside penalties that have brought up first and long or first and 15, even second and 15, and has really caused third down and long. And that has a lot to do with the fact that this team only has 71 first downs in the year. And if they can avoid getting those 5-yard penalties early in this game and get on top early, that could be the confidence boost that they need to come through with this. Milton, on the other side, are in the same boat. They need a little bit of confidence as well, and if Davis is able to connect with Rice in their first series or so once or twice or even for a touchdown, this could be a big game for Milton and can catapult them into the postseason.
So if Shikellamy loses, are they out of the postseason?
Not necessarily. Because Columbia Montour Votech is the number 5 team right now, and they are just a few short points behind Shikellamy. So if both teams were to lose, theoretically and according to the points that we understand, it would pretty much remain as Shikellamy the 4 seed. If CMVT were to win and Shikellamy were to lose, there's a possibility that CMVT could leapfrog them. Not a guarantee even, but a possibility that they could leapfrog them for the 4th spot.
Did they play each other this year?
They did not play each other this year.
There's only 5 teams. They didn't play each other?
They are in different leagues. They're in different leagues completely. CMVT, this is where Columbia Montour Votech has struggled. They're a 4A team, but they play a lot of singles and double A teams.
When you're using the initials of the team, it sounds like you're talking about a bank. All right,
here they're well known as CMVT, believe me. Because by the time you say Columbia Montour Votech every time, I mean, you're out of breath.
And the play's over.
That's exactly right.
That's okay, Greg, because by the time he's done explaining the play, they're already on to the kickoff.
The good news is their nickname's the Rams, so it's really easy to use the nickname.
Well, how would you know? They don't play Shikellamy.
I actually have done a few Rams games over the years.
Do they know?
I think so. Not quite sure now that you mention it.
What an incredible honor for them. All right. Greg, you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, thank goodness. All right. Here's the lineup coming up tomorrow night. It'll be Sealands Grove hosting Montoursville on Eagle 107 at 6. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. Little Brown Jug game, Mifflinburg at Lewistown.
Lewisburg.
Yeah,
forget that.
Mifflinburg, Lewisburg. On 100.9, the Valley. 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 airtime. And Shikellamy against Milton Elby on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime, with no emotional pregame tributes.
Not this week. That was last week. On the podcast, if you'd like to listen.
Greg, it was great to have you there. Zach, thanks so much, and our thanks to the suit. And don't forget, it's on the podcast.
I will see you on Saturday.
I really sincerely doubt that. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth.
The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.